Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the UI Breakfast Podcast. I'm your host, Jane Portman, and today our guest is Tony Beltramelli, CEO and co-founder of Wizard Technologies, and we're going to talk about AI in UX. This episode is brought to you by Product Camp, an online event for all product people, product managers, UX designers, and researchers. It includes 60-plus Barcamp presentations, inspirational talks, and practical case studies run by top UX designers and product managers, such as Melissa Perry, Marty Kagan, Jonathan Courtney, and Scott Belsky. Join the Barcamp for free or get tickets to the entire event at productcamp.pl. Hi, Tony.
Hello, Jane.
Thanks so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Before we get started and talk about the actual AI, can you tell us what you do for a living and a little bit of your background story?
Of course. I'm the CEO and co-founder of a company called Wizard, as you just said. And Wizard is a company that leverage AI and machine learning to provide a better experience and a better way for product teams to build prototypes. And so we believe that artificial intelligence can really speed up the process by removing the boring part of the workflow and let them really focus on what they want to bring to the customer. And my background is in computer science. I started my computer science career by working in the web agency as a front-end developer. And being frustrated by the workflow, I decided to move on and go back to university, study machine learning, and try to solve the problem that I was frustrated about back when I was a front-end developer in the web industry.
Tell us a bit more about how Wizard was started, and you've been out since 2017. That's quite a few years already. So what's been the journey like?
Yeah, of course. So Wizard started really as a research project. The entire idea back then was, hey, can we leverage the same technology that is powering self-driving car in order to auto-generate code for UI mockups? And back then it was really just a research project with a demo video, and that took off pretty quickly after being posted on YouTube. And in just a few weeks, we were covered in Wired UK magazine on The Next Web. And the last one, I think, was Fast Company. And so this is when we realized this could be a lot more than just a research project. It seemed that it could solve a real problem that people are facing every day. So let's try to turn this into a real company.
So you went with the solution first and then you found the problem, or was there a specific pain that you were experiencing in the field as a professional that you'd like to help people overcome?
Yeah, the pain point I had was, why does it take so long between the moment where we speak to a customer and the moment where we can actually show this customer some working solution? I thought it was insane that you have to go through like this endless brainstorming session, then a designer will have to do some work, then the developer will have to do some work to make the prototype functional. And along this journey, there is so many loss of information, so many different like roadblocks, that the solution you present to your customer, first of all, it will take a long time. And second of all, it might not encapsulate exactly what that person said to the product manager in the first meeting. And so that was my frustration and the pain point I wanted to solve.
Tell us more what AI actually does in your tool. How exactly does it speed up the process? Is it a replacement for human in the design role, or is it more of a helping hand?
So we see AI really just as like a helping hand. We believe that people will still provide all the value. I mean, people build product for people. So the AI just should support and enhance the human creativity. So one angle where AI is using a product, for example, is you've been sketching on the whiteboard with your team or in your notebook. How can we get you as fast as possible from those sketches to something you can actually use and play with inside of your computer? So translating the real world into digital world to some extent. That's one part where AI is using a product.
Can you give us an overview of how that works behind the scenes? And not none of our listeners, but definitely the large part of our listeners, including myself, have very little idea about AI and how it actually powers product. So what's going on behind the scenes in Wizard?
Behind the scene, one way I like to describe it is really like pattern matching. And so, for example, as a product team, you've probably used to draw the same kind of interface over and over again, because this is the way you express creativity within your team. And for example, the way login flow will be structured within, you know, Gmail or Skype or other solution is going to be very similar. So there is a lot of redundancy and patterns in the way we create user interfaces. And so AI really is able to recognize those patterns that are emerging over and over again, and then provide those patterns back to the user when they need them. So I hope that's a simplified enough rough explanation. The entirety is really like pattern matching, like really, really fast, instead of having to go through a database of examples like you would have to do as a person.
So let's decompose the traditional prototyping flow a little bit and see where your tool helps. For example, previously, the traditional flow would be like, I would do a sketch on paper, then I would go in and recreate that in Figma or something like InVision Studio or whatever other modern tools are there. Then I will spend endless hours trying to make it into a working prototype by setting up all these little connections and transitions and everything, which is part of the reasons, honestly, as a practicing UX designer, I hated that. And we always went without the prototyping stage, right into the more high fidelity mockups. So what does Wizard do that makes that really painful process easier?
Yeah, of course. That's a really good analogy, actually, to describe the current way of doing it. So if you were to use Wizard, you could either start your journey by directly creating sketches by hand or on your favorite software. But instead of having to recreate this in Figma or Sketch or InVision, you can simply upload screenshots or photographs of those sketches, and then they will turn into real interface in Wizard. And then from that on, you can, like, automatically, I'm talking about from the time you export your image, in a few seconds, really, you will have everything laid out for you. So you can modify everything, customize the color, like literally everything as if you were in Sketch. And then you can link the screens and you basically turn something that would take few hours into a few minutes. And then you can just hit the button, export all of this to Sketch if you want to further, you know, customize the product, or directly to code if you want to hook up some business logic and test with real data and real users.
Oh, so you mentioned you have already lots of people using the tool. So how is it going for them? What exactly are they using it for? New products, building features for existing products, something else?
We have a lot of entrepreneurs and startups that are using this for quick prototyping. So either it's like their first product and they want to raise capital and they want to have something quick to test with real users or showcase to investors. We have people that also simply want to build new apps for an existing product or a new part of an existing product as, you know, an extension of a web app, an extension of a mobile app. So it's a mixture of both projects that are improved and new projects that are being built.
You've been working on Wizard for a few years by now. What have been the biggest discoveries and surprises along your product journey?
I think the biggest surprise for us is to realize, so because we are coming from design and development, we thought, this is a product that's going to help designers and developers. But after a few years and after, you know, onboarding a lot of private beta users, we realized because AI removes the complexity away, the majority of a power user today are actually non-designers. They are entrepreneurs. They are marketing teams. They are people that don't want to spend weeks learning how to use Figma or Sketch. They just want to get the ideas flowing and test them as quickly as possible. And that has been probably the biggest learning for us.
What's your philosophy about like how high fidelity your deliverables are? Because the wireframing slash prototyping is often done with the low fidelity mockups, but sometimes there are people who prefer to have it like with styling already. So, and the screenshots that exist on your website, they look absolutely styled, which brings us to the conclusion that you might tackle both the wireframing problem and the styling problem. So how does it work?
That's a very good question. So whenever you upload your sketches to Wizard, they will be transformed automatically to high fidelity. So you can literally create like your own list of components, and then those components will be used to populate your wireframes. But then because everything is component-based, you can also create low-fidelity components as well. And by just, you know, a switch of a button, you can literally have the same prototype rendered in low-fidelity or high-fidelity, depending on how you want to test it with. We believe that people should have the flexibility because if they want to test with an end user, of course, they might actually want to test with high fidelity. But if they want to just brainstorm with a team of already experienced designers, they might actually just want to think low fidelity.
As I've been exploring your tool, I think you have a very interesting approach to actual themes and components as opposed to, let's say, Figma or Sketch. So what's your approach there?
So exactly, everything is component-based. We think that as someone using a prototyping tool, you shouldn't have to think about pixel values or, you know, vectors. You should just think about components and concepts. I want to put login form here, and I want to put the suite of button here. I don't want to just recreate the same thing over and over again. So the idea is that you create your component once, and then you can reuse them everywhere across your projects.
What do you do when you work with your beta users to figure out what kind of flow they use, and like how do you iterate with your product based on that? Because the design process is definitely something super intimate, and there are so many different ways of doing that.
So you mean when we are designing Wizard itself, you mean, and with our own customers?
Working with your customers to figure out how they use Wizard so that you can improve your tool.
Got it. Well, we have quite a lot of interviews over Zoom, which is like the de facto way of working these days because of COVID, unfortunately. So a lot of face-to-face interviews and, of course, a survey. We do a lot of surveys whenever we have new features coming up, whenever we have some new things we want people to test. And we also have a Slack channel so we can have literally direct contact with our beta users at any given time. Whenever people have problems, whenever people have questions, they can just send us a Slack notification and we can work with them.
As you were designing this tool and applying AI, were there any major roadblocks? And just overall, what's the process of integrating like heavy technology in something that seems to be a utilitarian design tool?
Well, at the end of the day, like all the complexity is really like hidden away from the user, right? So I would tend to argue that building a product which has AI baked in is not so different to have a product with, I don't know, a database baked in, because it's just like the complexity will be on the back end, and then the product development lifecycle on the product side will literally be the same with or without AI. AI is really just like the engine that is hiding somewhere on the server.
You are funded. You're a team of like 15 people or something like that. So tell us what the breakdown is in those people. Is it like 95% engineers working on the engine and everything else is just done by a few other folks? Or how does it work?
So we do have a majority of engineers and machine learning engineers and product engineers. But of course, we have designers and we have a marketing team as well, communication, making sure we have happy customers at all time. But I would say that probably 50% of the company is on the engineering side.
How do you think this kind of flow, how does it bake into the overall future of design? Do you think in a few years we'll have different tools at our disposal? Because what we've been observing is sort of the revolution of using evolution, better say, from using Photoshop, which was really bad, but it was definitely popular, to some vector tools, to then dedicated UX tools like Sketch, that Figma that evolved in the idea. Do you think we're just going to be evolving, or is there a revolution around the corner?
That's a really good question. I like to see, for example, Photoshop for me was like the first generation UI tool. Really bad for UI design. It just happened to be the only thing available out there. And then luckily, as you said, we had Sketch, which I think was second generation tool. Suddenly we are manipulating vectors and it makes a lot more sense for UI design. And then we see Figma and Adobe XD now that are a lot more advanced and like third generation tool for UI design. But when it comes to UX and prototyping, I think we're still stuck to a first generation tool. Sketch, InVision, Figma, they're all great UI design tools, but I don't think that they are made for UX design and prototyping because you still manipulate pixels and vectors at the end of the day. Of course, you could have a library of components if your team is advanced enough to have everything well documented, but chances are a lot of time you will have to just recreate the same old form and the same old button because, oh, I lost a version somewhere and my team actually used a new color last week and I don't even know where that is. So I think the next generation of tool will really be about concepts and components because design is really becoming to a point where it's becoming standardized and we really have a better view on what the workflow should be and we can optimize everything. But again, like getting one step further on the abstraction ladder, right? So we've been going from pixel to vector and soon I think we're going to go from component to concepts and enable really anyone in the product team to create value without having to learn a complex set of tools.
Do you have any advice for folks who would like to get started with prototyping but don't have specific design education? Do you provide like educational resources for them, or is there any reading they can do to get started in this area?
Well, I think the beautiful thing about UX design prototyping that there are so many resources available online for free. And I think people that don't have any experience, at the end of the day, they do, because they're using product every day that are really well designed by great tech companies around the world. So that's what I really meant before by the standardization of design. We all used to experience good products on a daily basis. And so we expect to be able to provide the same kind of value when we create product for our own customers. But obviously, at the end of the day, the best experts when it comes to creating compelling experiences are still today designers. So we really believe in collaboration in product teams. It's like, it's not just entrepreneurs and team leaders. It's also collaboration with designers, UX researchers that really, in my opinion, make sure you have compelling products to offer your customers.
So are there any particular blogs or resources or maybe books that you could recommend to our listeners?
So I really like the UX tool blog on Medium. I think Hacker News also have some really great tips and tricks sometimes. Prototyper.io, I like sometimes they have like in-depth, you know, topic. But at the end of the day, I think following great designers on Twitter can get you a long way. People talk all the time about what's working, what's not working, about the current, you know, workflow, current tool set. I personally learn a lot more efficiently by following great designers on Twitter than I do by reading, lengthy articles sometimes.
As there are entrepreneurs listening to us and they're thinking and brainstorming their new product and they think that AI can be a handy thing, what would be your wise advice whether they should pursue this path or whether they specifically need to get funding in order to do that? Because it seems to be like a pretty resource heavy thing to tackle.
So it depends on how deep the AI requirements need to be. The beautiful thing about machine learning becoming so common is that there are a lot of easy-to-use solutions to really enable people with low technical background to build things using machine learning and AI. But of course, if your needs are highly specific, at some point you're going to need to work a lot more closely with, you know, dedicated machine learning engineers, and of course that's going to come with a cost. But luckily for us, there are still a lot of tools out there to be able to at least build a prototype that use some form of machine learning to even prove that it's even possible to build the intended user experience with machine learning at the core.
Are there any products or companies out there who are absolutely killing it, who are inspiring you when it comes to AI in their products?
When it comes to AI in the product, I'm a big fan of Grammarly, for example, when it comes to content writing. And that's, in my opinion, where I see the future of AI. It's not like this crazy complex tool that looks like a robot, like you can see in all the press article about AI. It's really like AI is hidden in the background and help you silently achieve your task. And Grammarly is amazing for this. You write English and it will just autocorrect, provide you feedback. You don't even realize there is this algorithm in the background. There is a famous AI researcher that I forgot the name and I'm sorry about this. And he used to say, AI stop being AI once it works, which I think is just spot on. When technology works, we just forget that there is some kind of magical AI inside of it. It's just software.
There is a tool out there, and I totally don't remember their name. It starts with a D, I think, which do audio editing. And they started with matching audio with text and then allowing you to edit text in there. And while editing the text, you'll be also editing audio. But so far, as I know, they have repositioned to podcasting being a narrow niche. And I'll absolutely link to them in the show notes. I just don't remember the name of the tool.
There's actually another company called Synthesia, who is creating like live video of real actors based on text. So you want to have the same content in English or Russian. You simply write it in text and it will auto-generate the video and the sound. So perhaps it's a little bit similar to what you just described. But I'm not sure I remember that tool you just mentioned.
I can't do research on the fly, but I definitely will and include it in the show notes. So that's great to hear. That's great to hear that there are such inspiring companies out there. And as we're wrapping up this episode, is there any advice that you could give to our listeners when it comes to prototyping? And what practices do you think can improve their workflow on a daily basis, as opposed to the traditional one?
Well, I think, as you said before, people tend to skip prototyping today because it takes too much time. And for us as well at Wizard, we're the first one to just quickly go on, build a solution, and then way too late actually show it to real users. And so I think the biggest learning is like, shows your idea and your solution to someone as quickly as possible. And so find a way to get prototyping as cheaply and as quickly as possible so we can actually avoid wasting more time and resources afterwards if you end up building the wrong thing.
Actually, we didn't cover the testing part for the prototypes. Do you have any advice or do you provide a way for your users to do testing or do you allow them to do that fully on their own?
So when it comes to testing, we believe that there are Rhino a lot of great tools out there. So once people have created something with Wizard, they will actually move on to, you know, usertesting.com or Maze Design and just do testing with solution they're already used to.
Okay, awesome. For example, there are things like Figma Mirror or something like that. Do you offer that in Wizard?
So in Wizard, you can actually export your Wizard project to other platforms such as Sketch or even like Code. So you could actually build your prototype in Wizard really quickly, export it to the Sketch format, and then import this to Figma if you want to use the Figma tool for testing.
Where can people find your tool and your sources online and you personally as well?
So they can actually find us on wizard.io, wizard.io. And then if they actually do /UI breakfast in capital, no space, then it would actually be able to skip the waitlist and get direct access to the private beta.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for that. That's very nice. Thank you for sharing your thoughts today. It was very nice to get an insight into your process and your tool. And hope you have a great rest of the week.
Thank you so much, Jane. Thanks for having me and likewise.